Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are encouraged to be here for you today. Amazing, totally amazing, the things that are going on in the world. We had a great weekend of unfolding some things. The word of the Lord, was that not a beautiful?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's powerful.
Oh, yeah. God's always got a plan. He's always got a plan. And if we're willing to hear him out and begin to search after him and begin to let him reveal to you precept upon precept, when you put all of the pieces of what God is saying together, and it takes a while because he knows our frame, he knows what we're made of, and you see the whole Mona Lisa coming together, it's just so exciting that there's hope. There's hope. I think about, you know, what Chuck Pierce was talking about in a prophetic word, which we have on the torch, the VFN torch, that America, the world leadership's locked up because the church leadership's locked up. And it'll never, there's just this void in the world right now of leadership. And any Tom, Dick, or Harry is out there trying, just doing whatever. And I'm not talking about any leaders. I just thought about Congress. there's different, anyway, so that it's the church. If we begin to hear God, what are you releasing on the earth in regards to leadership? And we saw the beginning of an unfolding of one part of what God's doing in the earth. And it's exciting, but you got to be willing to let go of what's behind to be able to grab a hold of what God is doing. You cannot hold on to the old. You need to honor the old, honor it because it's God. But when God begins to do a new thing, establish a new thing, you got to let go of the old. If you tie those two together, you sew those two together, you try to merge those two together, both of them will be destroyed. And your critics will sit back and say, see, what you were doing was wrong, and what you said that God wanted was wrong. The truth is, you just tried to sow the old to the new. And as a matter of fact, even in the Word of God, he lets us know that you don't put new wine into old wineskins. If you do, because new wine breathes and all that, it's going to just blow the old wineskin apart. It's not the fact that the old wineskin wasn't a wineskin. You just needed a new wrapper for the new move. You needed something that was more flexible, because when God begins to do a new thing, it breathes, and we hear him out, and we walk it out, and it's not necessarily as black and white to us because we're walking by faith. It's more of the, you know, every moment he's saying, when you hear the wind blow over the trees, take a right. And when this is going on, do this. And see how I did that? I affirmed this. See how I shut that down? And you just kind of walk with him. And it's just really a cool time, but it's a very fragile time. I think about when Jacob was transitioning back with his brother and the family, you know, Esau and all. And after a long journey, and Esau was just pumped. He's like, oh, come, man, bring. And he had all of his spotted, speckled, striped goats and his dark-colored sheep, lamb and sheep. Remember that if you have not yet heard Complete Faith, you need to hear that. It'll encourage you. As a matter of fact, we talked about it on Friday's program, so you can see it in the torch. But he had little ones, you know, little small ones and big ones and all that type of stuff. And so Esau's like, come on, dude, just come on, let's go. Hurry, quick, man. I can't wait to get and talk and all this kind of stuff. They didn't have text then. And he said, listen, I got little ones with me, and I can't move too fast, more than a day's journey, because my harvest will die. That was his harvest, because remember, he believed God's working for Laban and all that. So he knew that the little ones would die. And so you got to be so careful during transition, even though it's right, you got to be careful how you move, because there's some that are so young. They're so young that they don't know, they still just can't handle the journey. And so even though you know where you're going and you're going to get there, it may take you 3 or 4 days longer than it would have taken Esau to get there. because he ain't carrying the harvest that God's blessed you with mm-hmm. and the vision that God's blessed you with. And so be encouraged. Know that God is establishing outposts. He's establishing hubs in the world and in possibly a city near you, maybe in your state. There's even a state that's being set up as a hub state in the nation that's going to replace everything you see that's not working and falling apart. And realize that what happens is anything will work that God says work. So all of a sudden, if it stops working, just move on.
Mm.
Repent. I mean, obviously, there's sin or whatever in your life, but if you repented and all that and it's still not working, then God's just saying move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, with that, he is establishing something that if he told you, you wouldn't even believe it, but you're going to be utterly amazed and you're not going to even recognize. This is, you know, I'm thinking about a couple people, but one particular person is Brother Ken Summerall, who is with the Lord right now and receiving his reward, a spiritual father to me in my life, was when he said, you know, time is coming, and he even gave me a time frame, but I'm not going to say what the time frame is. And he said that the church, you aren't going to be able to recognize it. You're not going to be able to recognize what it looks like because it's going to be so different.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, very same thing that, you know, that, and of course, he, you know, Ken Summerall was talking about the church can't recognize the church. But then it goes further than that with what Rick Joyner is saying is that the church is going to be so different, what God's about to do, how church happens and everything about it, that the world won't even be able to connect what presently is to what the church is going to be. They're not going to be able to connect the two things.
Mm-hmm.
And what you more than likely will see is something that hangs around that kind of takes on the reputation for being what the church used to be, and there'll be people that hang with that, you know, for whatever reason. But then the real church will actually, you know, morph into what, you know, God wants it to be by his spirit. And then I think about the same thing. I think Chuck Pierce was saying the very same thing, I think. And to me, that's exciting because I looked through the lattice work and I observed that we need God to breathe on the church again. We need a new wind. We need a new hope. And what's coming, these hubs and these outposts, apostolic centers, if you would, are going to be serving in a place to where these apostolic centers relate to other apostolic centers and birth apostolic centers, and they'll all be related in these networks. And in the context of that, they'll be able to support and be there for what other things in the past were there for the church.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be there relationally
mm-hmm.
and not legally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which will help us in the sin issue because the law is the power of sin. So when you're there because you want to be there and it's based on love, it's easier to stay right in the context of that. So just be encouraged. Be encouraged about that God is doing some new things. And we saw some of the revealing of that.
Yeah,
and we're going to be sharing, you know, what we know about really soon. So stay tuned to VFN Radio. You know, I was thinking about how technology has taken away the newness of seeing those that you love and care about and have a relationship with after leaving them for a time, because it's like you never get a chance to go away.
Mm.
I mean, it's like you never say, how are you doing anymore? Because you're constantly in communication. You never say, hey,
mm-hmm.
because it's a continual conversation that started, you know, 5 years ago when texting and instant messaging and email began.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a day you would leave, everybody would leave and they would come back together and they go, hey, how are you doing today?
Right.
And it's like, and the best you can do with today's technology is before you send a text or an instant message or an email, an individual email or text by itself has to say hey, how are you doing?
Right.
Because we have a it's like one content. We've taken away the freshness and the newness of relationships. So I encourage you, don't let technology keep you in a continual perceived conversation with somebody that never ended. Because it's not true. Because you did go away, mm-hmm. and you're seeing each other and spending time with the Lord afresh, and His mercies are new every morning, and greet each other, and spend time asking people how their day went or their weekend went, or because tech is like one continual long conversation that just never ends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, people are in, you know, Facebooks and whatever else is out there.
FaceTime. Just FaceTime me yesterday.
Yeah, right. And it's like you never leave. Mm-hmm. It's like you never leave. And the thing is that, and then the danger is that then you become familiar with what you perceive you never leave. And if you become familiar with it, then all of a sudden you take it for granted. And then one day you send a text and nothing comes back. Mm. And you wonder why. And the thing is, you took it for granted. Mm-hmm. You just took it for granted. And you began to be critical. And when you became critical, then it just began to break things down. The truth is, you're not in a continual communication with somebody. You have the ability to communicate on a regular basis. But understand the conversation is like when you're talking to people and they're talking back to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what we consider, you know, VFN radio is where we're talking to you and we're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just a conversation because you just don't have them anymore. Mm-mm. But we just try to keep the conversation light. And we have just such positive feedback from our listeners that it's just refreshing that, you know, I'm not being text, you know, characters in a text that I don't even know what they even mean. And I'm not only using whole words, but we're using whole sentences and, mm-hmm. and whole things.
Right, right, right.
You know, and it's a lot of encouraging things in that particular area. So if, in fact, you are saying that you are communicating with your parents, but truly you're only texting them every now and then, that's not really I know it is in this present generation. People accept it as norm. But there's people. I was speaking to somebody recently. Well, people break. They actually break up relationships by just texting somebody. They go, it's over. I'm just not that into you.
Okay.
That's me text back, I'm standing behind you. Or, you know, people fire people over a text. Or people, and it's like, listen, you know, it's a relationship. I mean, how did relationships end up being broken down to 25 words or less? Mm. You know, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody says, quick, sum it up. Okay, you're ignorant. You're right? It's like, okay, stretch that a little bit. You're ignorant.
Yeah, you might want to proof your texts before you send
them
to.
Yeah, no, I was about to say that. Yes. I was definitely, yeah. I was getting there, but I didn't want to stay in the serious moment. you know, and somebody says, well, you make it a little bit longer, and says, well, you're stupid and ignorant. Mm. The thing is, it's like, no, have a conversation. Mm. Have a conversation with somebody. Speaking of technology, I was riding in a storm the other day, and on some of these mobile devices you have where you can speak to the phone. I have an Apple with a bite out of it. Dear God, help me, Lord.
Forgive us, right?
The logo, I'm thinking, it's just like, anyway, so the... Well, it's not the burning tree phone, right? That's all I got to say. There'll be a merger tomorrow. Anyway, so, I'm sorry. Does somebody have one? Yes. Anyway, so the
storm.
Yeah, a serious storm. It's amazing the storms that are happening in America. Just makes you can't get away from the prophetic word given by John Paul Jackson. Yeah. As lightning looks like it's going through one ear and coming out the other. It's like, this is that storm thing. Lightning's popping down and striking things, and there's a glow happening. I mean, there's rain's coming down. And I'm riding down the road, and I said, I am not going to text and drive. Period. I'm just not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I picked my phone up and I turned on Siri. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Dear Heavenly Father," and I was like, you know, I just said, you know, a normal perceived conversation. The text is throwing me off. It's like, I don't even have a clue what I was saying. And I didn't have my glasses on to prove what I sent, which, by the way, is very important because Siri's not that cooperative, I found out. And it has a very, very inappropriate vocabulary. And so I pushed send, and then I finally stopped at a red light and put my glasses on, looked on my phone at the message I sent. I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord. I can't believe you. I just can't even describe. I can't even describe what this text said. Oh, and I was shocked. And both of us, of course, I made a phone call and I immediately said, delete that. Of course, they're going, I've got to delete that. And it was like, that is not what I said that I know of. Maybe I need deliverance. Maybe there was another voice going on. I don't know. But I had a witness. Donna was there. I told her. Anyway, so, yeah. So, you know.
Prove it.
Yeah, just talk to somebody. Yeah. Siri can mess up some serious thing. Mm. Thank God it went to somebody who loves me and understands all my flaws. But yeah, watch out for that Siri stuff. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My wife works for a large corporation. They have a weekend overtime. Up until recently, it was on a seniority basis, and she was high enough where she wasn't mandated to work on the weekends. So the group decided, they took a vote because it is a union shop, that they were going to change it to a point system. With her not working on Sundays, she doesn't get those points. She ends up getting mandated every Sunday.
Let me tell you what I'm going to do. First, I'm going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. But the fact is, the union can't override a federal statute. Title VII says they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation of a sincerely held religious practice, which means in a situation like your wife's, if she wants to worship on Sunday and there are other people that could work that slot, and it sounds like there are, they should be accommodating her sincerely held religious beliefs.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa! I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day. I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things, is that you actually could text somebody, and then you could blame it on Siri. I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone, type, and especially because what happens is, when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
Oh, that's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds.
And
I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone. It was a refurbished phone from my warranty. And Apple sends me, said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, it didn't work.
Yeah.
How can it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, we're going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. I think it's our southern draw. We got to really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now. I focus on
it. He does really good. I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling, and then wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Sort of a meal. Mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. He's like, oh, I didn't
are you
know
calling
about that
me
one.
Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill? Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Jeep.
Yeah.
No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes back, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. But it kind of goes like this, cheat. Nope. Don't do.
Aight. Yep.
I eat. Yeah. That was the final thing. I eat. And that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
How do you sophisticate? Oh, my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there. And besides, you know, it's just speaking on that, and we're gonna talk about God's news behind the news in a moment, and be encouraged because what I'm about to share with you, it'll take a moment to get encouraged about it. But you know, when you go do a radio commercial, and you're doing a radio commercial, of course, our commercials are like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And when you're putting them on. Multimedia and all the different outlets that are available, it costs you so much for a 30 second, so much for a 60 second. And of course, it cost a Southerner so much more money for their a Southerner that much more money in their advertising campaigns because it takes them like 2 or 3 minutes to say. And so what happens when they sit down with a Southerner that's, you know, doing a promotional spot where they're talking about, you know, maybe whatever, that you can put it down on a timeline. You can edit out a lot of empty spaces. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, and I got to be just to tell you up front, the Word of God says, be slow to speak.
Being biblical. There
you go. Being slow. What? Being, I'm talking about, it says, be slow to speak. he's like
okay.
If you can't see it, his mouth's hanging wide open, his head's going up and down. That's what he says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be
mm-hmm.
slow to speak. And so a Southerner can really fool you because you think that's really slow.
Right.
And you find out, oh, you're running the country over here? You're running the state? It's just an accent. It's just an accent. Well, you know, we, if you have not yet heard, and hopefully it'll made available to you today, prophecy. God says he does nothing. He does nothing unless he reveals it to someone first, which people that can hear him, that he's trained up to be able to hear him, we call them prophets. And the purpose that they hear it is so, not so they can not tell you what's going on. I mean, that's kind of useless, but so they can hear clearly, and then they can tell you what they perceive God is saying and what the destiny is and, you know, what's about to take place. And he says that they're put up like watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel 33.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like watchmen on the wall. And they have to warn when they see something coming towards a people, a storm that God has fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
Then you warn the people. You warn them. Mm-hmm. And long story short, and you can hear more about this, and we talk about it continually, but you need to know the context. If they don't warn you, they suffer. If they do warn you, you either are blessed or you suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to be right before God, they have no choice but to say, you know, what God said. So, you know, somebody once said, you know, well, you don't need to be saying that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, what, it's God saying it. What do you do with that? You know, you got to say that. You got to, you know. And so I'm looking around and observing rapid fulfillment of the prophetic word giving. And if you haven't yet, you can go to VFN TV and you can watch it or listen to, you know, is America under God's judgment? Just looking at the facts, you know, and looking at the Word of God where you can see how God does things. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can learn the ways of God by watching how God responds to his people and to a world and to a nation. So you can say, hey, this is what he did here. This is what he expected the people to do. The people didn't do it. So this happened, but eventually the people did do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's like 40 years in that statement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really good in regards to almost like a courtroom presentation where you can draw your own conclusions from the Word of God in your time of prayer by just saying, okay, this is what God says. Okay, there's the law. There's the commandment. Secondly, and here's the evidence. This is what's taking place. Then the question is, you know, is that happening? Is that actually happening in our nation? And if it isn't, then you stop there. But if it is, I mean, just like any courtroom, you want to go further and find out, because there's three phases of God judging a nation. He's so merciful. You know, how many times have we just said, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if God was like that, I wouldn't be here.
Mm.
And, you know, Pat wouldn't have been here either.
Definitely not.
No.
Me neither.
Well, I don't know.
No.
You're pretty perfect.
No. Yeah, perfect.
Every hair's in place.
Right. And so, and you'll find, this is what you're going to find out when you listen, and you'll hear, you need to hear the word in the context of it, because I'm just briefing over it, that this first phase of judgment, and it's not the kind of judgment, it's kind of a, you think about a judge on the bench in America that was formed on Judeo-Christian values, which means on redemption, And so it's about correction. It's not about destruction or destroying someone's life, you know. So they call it a correction facility. We call it jail and prison, but the subtitle of the whole thing, it's called corrections. The whole thing is corrections, which means we're going to correct their behavior. We believe that if they serve 3 years in prison under instruction and go through these particular programs while they're in the correction facility, then they'll come out a corrected man or a corrected woman. It's called corrections. But isn't that a beautiful nation that thinks that way? But we've turned it into mindsets. We've taken it away from corrections, and now we look at it as confinement. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody stands up and says, listen, we need to help these people learn how to read, get jobs, and somebody says, well, I'm not going to help them get a job because they did such and such. Like, that's the reason probably why they ended up doing such and such, because they were in a particular environment that didn't allow them to progress. And if we're Christians, and we love God, and if we're Americans based on the Judeo-Christian value and what has been laid out in our laws, we want God is a God of redemption. Mm-hmm. Right. And we need to be able to think about, and he said, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. And, you know, the people who didn't, he says, when were you in prison? Well, understand, whatever we do to the least of these of God's, we do to him.
Right.
And so don't think about it, you know, say, well, oh my goodness, we're under judgment. It's that kind of judgment. It's the kind of judgment that a judge would say, yeah, you need a couple years of correction.
Mm.
Yeah, you need to go through something.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, you know, hopefully correction will take place. But if it doesn't take place when the first phase of judgment is brought out upon us or individually me or you or whatever, then there's a next phase of judgment. But the first phase of judgment, we could have listened to the judge and said, you know I failed to acknowledge you in my life, and I was very ungrateful. And I know that right now that's manifested in a lot of sexual deviant behavior in my life and bondages to things I thought would never happen. But Lord, I'm sorry. This is Romans chapter 1, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says, then I'll turn you over to sexual lust and all that kind of stuff and the degrading of your bodies. And so, and then you say, I'm going to begin to acknowledge God. If 97% of people who profess to be Christians, who go to church at least every 2 weeks, are robbing from God, with the they're not tithing according to George Barna, then that means we're not acknowledging that God gave us this increase, that he's the one that's blessed us and gave us this business, this job, this house, this car, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you acknowledge it or not, that's where it comes from.
Right.
And so he says they failed to acknowledge God. They failed to acknowledge God.
Right.
And that's happening. It's like not only is this this aggressive push to be able to bring anything that would actually represent God that would help people acknowledge God. And then they begin to worship things instead of God. Hello, shopping network. I mean, come on. I mean, how many people measure their success based on their things? And how many people in that are Christians envy people who have more things than them? But they're not hungry for a life for somebody who has more of God than them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a total opposite. And so that's a harvest. That's a harvest. The first phase of judgment came on because we failed to acknowledge God and to be grateful. How many people is not grateful? It's like any American anywhere, if our poorest American, find the poorest American in America, and that man or that woman, or even potentially that child, is richer. I'm not saying their life's better or anything like that. I'm just saying they're richer. Statistics say this, that they're richer than 80% of the world. Mm. 80% of 7 billion people, basically. I mean, you're in the upper 20 percentile of wealth. And it's like, we can't be grateful?
Right.
But it's the spirit in the land, how much complaining. It's like, you know, you got a pizza delivered to your door. I mean, food's coming to your door now. I mean, America was originally shocked that you had drive-thrus. You could pull up to the side of a building and they cut a hole in the window and threw the food out the window in your car. That was a big deal.
Right.
It was just a big deal in China when Kentucky Fried Chicken opened up. They would actually pull up to the drive-thru, get the chicken, go around, park their car, then come in the restaurant and eat it. They just didn't know how this whole thing worked. You know, and they had to teach them how to do all that. Now we get food delivered to our door. And we go, this is 2 degrees colder than I like it.
Mm.
You know? We get food delivered to our door.
Right.
To our door. I mean, if you're a pizza person. You know, if you're in a bigger city, you get a better selection.
Oh, yeah.
But let me... there is not a lot of selection.
Apparently too big a selection.
Oh.
That didn't go unnoticed. Yeah.
And we complain about, we're just not grateful. And it's just, dear God, forgive us for not being grateful. And then... because of that, then a harvest happens. Scott says, so then I turned them over to this. And so that means it's a byproduct of being ungrateful and failing to acknowledge God. And then we begin to yell at our harvest. Look at those guys. You know, it was like, wait a minute. We're the ones that were ungrateful and failed to acknowledge God. This happened because we failed to acknowledge God and weren't grateful. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy. It's like, oh my goodness, deception is this. And this great deception has fallen in the land. It is so much deception. Imagine, you know, deception is water and you're in an ocean. I mean, it's hard not, I mean, you got to pay close attention because you're always wet.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go, this ain't right. This just ain't right. Even if it's you, you got to say, this is just not right. God help me. And so if you do A, and B happens because of A, but then you're yelling at B, why are you acting this way, and what's going on? It's like, or even in your own life, what's going on? I don't know what's going on with me. It couldn't be that I'm robbing God and, and failing to acknowledge him and agreeing with the people that are taking the Ten Commandments down and voting people into office who don't have the values of God in their heart. It couldn't be that. It couldn't be that I complain when I have a pantry full of groceries and a job that takes care of me. And then I'm richer than 80% of the people in the world. And, of course, if you, by the way, aren't the poorest person, you're probably richer than the top 5% of the world. And could it be that instead of me? And, you know, I'm saying, so we're yelling at, I mean, it's sort of like a kernel of corn going into the ground, growing into this full stalk of corn with ears of corn and the seed yelling at the corn. I mean, it's the harvest of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk more about that in a moment after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hope. Less. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com. And it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope. But it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says now. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet. But what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right? And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day, you know, and the perspective of things going on. And that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
Well, you know, I was thinking about you guys, thinking about our VFN radio listeners, as you guys have been just connecting with us. We are so appreciative of just the great conversation that we're all joining together as we continue to encourage God's people. But I was thinking about McDonald's. I know that it's one of Chris's favorite places. And as I was thinking,
which one?
Mickey D's.
Oh, Mickey D's. He does tend to venture out a little bit.
We know that he likes to visit for lunch, you know, quite a bit. And it's interesting how he just kind of slips out the studio and slips back
disappears,
in.
Disappears.
Where is Chris? And then there's a quick beeline, you know, to where he has to go. But I hear the rumbling, the crisp bag, you know, just bumping up against his leg as he's racing by. And I smell an aroma coming from over there, and I see that pretty large bag of Mickey D's. Did you bring some for the rest of us? No, he's very quiet right now.
Yeah,
he's very quiet. Well, Chris, I want you to know. I want you to feel good about this, because maybe it's coming to America, right? But right now in Japan, you can order French fries, but not a regular, you know. They went from the large to the supersize. Now they have the mega.
Oh, come on.
Mega potato. It is double the large size.
Oh, my goodness.
It is double. You know how many calories are in a regular? I mean, I don't know.
There's not. You can't even count them. Yeah. There's so many.
I stopped doing fries just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. You let go of the fries, huh?
I let go.
Thank you, Jesus. He repented.
But somebody did ask me for some fries yesterday. I won't name any names.
Okay, don't name any names. It's not necessary. Just confess your own sin, okay? But listen, I mean, fries. I don't know what they put in these fries, but let me tell you, they're addictive. Those fries are good. Their fries are good. But I don't know if you knew this. This is the Daily News is reporting that it weighs, this mega potato weighs about 3/4 of a pound, and it clocks in at 1,142 calories.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
57 grams of fat and 800 milligrams of sodium.
That's the whole potato?
No, it's a. I don't know if it's a whole potato, but they call it the mega potato. It's double. You should see the picture. We might have a picture of this.
Is it an order of fries?
It's an order of fries, but it's a double order of large fries.
Right.
It's you need two hands to hold the container. You need two hands to hold the container. And apparently, this is one of those like limited promotion things that they're running.
Let's
it's in Japan. Well, it's in Japan. Hopefully, it won't come over here. And normally, you can get, I think, a whole meal for $5. These potatoes alone cost $5. So, you know, clue, stay away from the potatoes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Of course, joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about, you know, is America under God's judgment? Understand this. You know, for example, Egypt could be under God's judgment. Egypt could be under God's judgment, but it doesn't mean the church is going to falter.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the same thing. That's important. Kind of hard for Americans to get, a lot of Americans, Christians to get that God can deal with a nation and bless his people in the nation he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so I'm not saying that. And we only know in part and prophesy in part. But what I am saying is that things are being fulfilled. And no, it's not looking good. And if you hadn't heard, you know, is America's on her sickbed, you need to hear that. But know this, that we serve a God that heals. But mm-hmm. A nation can be dealt with and disciplined. And the church could just thrive. As a matter of fact, that pretty much will be the result of it, is the church already thrived. Now, it won't necessarily thrive in the way the Rome mindset the church was operating in prior to that, obviously, because that's why it ended up that way. But don't think it's going to be father filtered.
Mm-hmm.
If a God who loves you and loves the one who's not yet accepted him and wants them to know about him. So he's doing it in a way that if we listen, if we survive, you know, dealing with letting go of the things that really was irrelevant, the hay, wood, and stubble, then it can be good. So I'm not speaking something negative and to the point. You think about it. If you have a child, and if you love that child, you're going to bring discipline to that child. And it's not anything good about it. Nobody enjoys discipline at the time. But in the end, it works holiness in the church's life. And it works, you know, a productive, fruitful child in society.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wouldn't look at that as a negative thing. I mean, the enemy's really messed up discipline in what it means that we're talking about corrections and all that earlier. But Romans chapter 1 talks about these three phases of judgment. And at any moment when we're in the first phase, we can repent. Okay, for every 10 commandment that was taken down, we're going to put 10 up, you know? Mm-hmm. For every cross that was taken down, we're going to put 10 up, you know? And not only that, we're actually going to read them and know them and by God's grace, begin to apply them in our life and try to live that. We're going to live by God's values in our life. I mean, that's repentance in the context of that. Because today we have forgiveness of sins. We can repent and God will forgive us. Men may not forgive you, but God will forgive you. But if we don't deal with that, and this is what he says in the first phase of judgment when he's talking about it in Romans. This is the New Testament, by the way. So the old covenant who said, that couldn't be. It's like, well, this is the New Testament. This is to the Church of Rome.
N.T.
N.T. Mm. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. And their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, once our mind goes off into dark areas and it's just like, what are you doing with your life? And it's amazing if you ask somebody, you know, why are they doing what they're doing? Majority of people really couldn't give you a clear answer at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm the type of person that's like, I can only do that for so long before I go like, this is not productive.
Mm.
This is not productive. You know, if I don't want anything to happen at the end of the exertion of my energy, I'm just not going to exert the energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll just sit there for all that and still get the same. You know, if I can accomplish the same thing, why not sit there with a glass of iced tea and look at the sun coming up or something? And he says, their their foolish hearts became darkened. Although they claim to be wise, and as anybody claims to be wise, it's today's generation. Yes, professors and leaders, and but their fruit says, you're not wise. Some of the things that you're doing, and the wisdom that rejects Christ is the most ignorant wisdom that one could ever imagine, the wisdom of man.
Right.
Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. In other words, they exchanged reality for an image, something that makes it look like something. And by the way, if you look at if you take a camera and you take a picture of somebody, you can look at that picture down the road and you can go, wow, that just brings back good memories. And it was really easy to go, you know, that's a picture of the person. It's mm-hmm. I mean, you don't sit there and talk to the picture.
Right.
Hey, picture, how are you doing? So good to see you, Susan. So good to see you, Jim. You know, type of thing. You're, yeah. You're like, that's stupid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you start giving credit to that image and start saying, you know, that... and saying that it means more than just a picture of that situation, you can begin to have wrong thoughts towards that and say, you know, I want that car, you know, I want that business and or that person or whatever. And all of a sudden now, he says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like. And what that picture is something that looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It's just not the real thing. And so you have to tell yourself, because it will do things in your mind and experience, because it is an image of the real thing, that it will cause things to respond in your life. Like you can watch a movie and you go through all these emotions as if it was really, really happening. I mean, you're sad, you're happy, and you just go on this roller coaster of these feelings, because it triggered off how God's designed you to be. But this is the whole thing, though. It wasn't real. It was image. Mm-hmm. It was image made to look like. I'm not speaking against movies or nothing, but you need to understand, don't give that validity like it is something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in its place. It's just a picture on your counter, on your phone now. Everybody's got, you know, it's all things about taking pictures with phones. It's just a picture. It's just a picture. Another example is, where we exchange actual relationships for digital ones, where you have your, quote, Facebook friends or something like that. And all of a sudden, we've exchanged true relationship for images made to look like we had relationships. And people, mm-hmm. I mean, they are like dogmatic of saying, these are my friends.
Right.
You know, and so you talk to one of their images in reality.
Right.
And they go, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. But when you talk to the person who had a relationship with those images and that person's Facebook, they talk like they know everything about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like pilfering people's lives with their finger. Amber says, they're stalking people on Facebook. That's what they're doing. They're stalking people's lives. And I guess they would be, because if you never knew the person, you know. And the thing is, it's just, but you got to be able, I'm not saying wrong or right here, I'm just saying perspective, that if you make an image that's not real to be the real thing in your heart, then it's become wrong. Image is made to look like. And it's more difficult to have authentic, real relationships. That's why so many people don't have them. That's why marriages are ending in divorce. That's why everything's being fragmented, because it costs you to have a relationship with other people. And so that's the first phase of judgment. It begins because those things were happening. He says, this is what God says. Therefore, God gave them over. So it's God. It's God that says, this happened. So then I'm going to give them over. I'm going to give them over. As a matter of fact, join me in the extra hour, because I'm going to talk about this, because you're going to really find out that some of the things that we're seeing today is things that God's turned us over to. Now, don't realize it's not like over in the context of God's wanting to destroy us. It's just like, aha, we need to repent and begin to acknowledge God and quit exchanging reality for images made to look like reality, and begin to have authentic relationship with people and begin to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. We'll be back. Join us in the extra hour. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. If you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, and the church was just letting them come in, to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.